Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good evening, good afternoon, from whichever part of the world you are in. We welcome you to Zambia Blog Talk Radio on this good Saturday morning, June the 20th, 2009. We are glad that you've chosen to spend your weekend with us, and we're looking forward to having a great show again and on this Saturday as we begin our weekend talking about issues concerning nationals in the diaspora. Well, before we even continue or go further, let me welcome my good friend from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Beston. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, my friend. You looking forward to an exciting show?
Oh, yeah, great. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
An exciting time today.
Yeah, excellent, my friend. We are going on a series we are calling Diaspora for Development, and we'll be speaking to a great African from Ghana, and we trust that he's going to share some great experiences with us, because the Ghanaians have been known to have really utilize the diaspora community in the Ghanaian community. Before we get underway with the show, let me just make one quick announcement here. There's been a bereavement in the Zambian community here in the States. For those listening to us may not be aware of this. We are sad at Zambia Blog Talk Radio to announce that Mr. William Kamanga in Huntsville, Alabama, left us on Tuesday, June the 16th. And what we are trying to do here at Zambia Blog Talk Radio is just to make everybody aware of this. The Kamangas need financial support, and should you find it within your heart to try and help the Kamangas, the funeral home will not release the body until the full payment is made. So let me just give this little information as we proceed with the show. Should you wish to make a contribution to the Kamanga's funeral expenses, you can call the late Kamanga's daughter, Lizzie Duve, on phone number 256-665-8385. This is in Alabama. So Lizzie Duve is the person to call, 256-665-8385. I think this information should be on our website. I haven't checked it yet. Did we post it based on Titus?
I don't know yet, but we'll push it on.
All right. So that's what we just wanted to mention. Well, let's welcome Mr. Natala from Minnesota. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody around the world. And we are down, but we'll come up with the soccer in Zambia. 0-1.
So, has it just started?
Oh, it's on halftime, I think, now.
Oh, it's on halftime.
7, yeah. Started at 7.
All right. I know every Zambian, what do you call it, is right now is their ears and everything's attention is in that direction. And we trust that they will rise to the occasion and see what happens. The beauty about this is that the expectation is that we know that the, what you call it, they have both the Africa Cup and the World Cup are going to be in Southern Africa. Can you imagine that interesting scenario? The World Cup will be in South Africa, and I believe the Africa Cup will be in Angola. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Yes,
interesting.
It will be in Angola.
That's interesting. Beston, don't you think this is a good infusion of some needed capital in that part of the world?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's an excellent opportunity for African countries, especially in that region, to capitalize on the massive number of people that will be traveling to watch these games, you know, especially tourism. You know, government needs to step up the game and do more in terms of encouraging investment in tourism so that it can cater for all, probably millions of people that will be getting into Southern Africa at one time.
Excellent. And, you know, one thing I also noticed at reading through the media and the postings on, of course, information about some of the challenges that the host country for the World Cup has gone through over a period of time. I think that's a much needed injection into our economy, into the economy of that region right there. All right,
yeah.
I'm gonna hand over to Roger. He's our good friend from Canada. He's going to introduce our guests, and we shall take it up from there. Mr. Charlie, over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Roger Charlie from Alberta, Canada. It is wonderful and sunny this morning. How is everyone on the radio today?
We are doing fine.
Okay. We have Beston. How are you today in Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
I tell you what, I'm just awash. I'm soaking wet the whole night, you know. I mean, it's been pouring and pouring. But,
you are wet. Your house has no roof.
It's been terrible, you know.
Okay. Okay. Let me welcome our good friend from, I don't know if it's Freetown, the town, Freetown, Sierra Leone. Muna Msito, welcome to the program.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much. Greetings from Freetown.
Great, great. Today we are very privileged to have a fellow African come on our show, and we'll be looking at our title, which is Diaspora for Development, which we'll carry on as a series as we go on, Diaspora for Development. And today's perspective, we have a Ghana Diaspora Investment Forum, and we are privileged to have Dr. Kwame Osei from Accra, Ghana. Dr. Osei, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, my brother. How are you?
We are fine. How is Ghana today? Is there any football games today for Ghana?
Yes, there are a couple of matches today, and some were played also yesterday. It's very interesting. You know, Ghanaians love football.
Of course.
And I tell you, we are really, I go to South Africa. What come May, we are going to be part of the World Cup team.
Definitely, definitely. We'll be all there. Whichever African country goes there, we'll be there.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, it's a privilege to have everyone on the show. My friend Titus, I didn't welcome you. Welcome this morning. How is St. Paul, Minnesota?
Minnesota is okay. We are not soaking wet.
Okay.
Everything is fine. Thank you.
Okay.
How
okay.
are you in Sierra Leone, Musito?
Okay. Dr. Osei, let's go. Your story has gone a very, very far, actually, the Ghanaian diaspora success story. And we would like to you to share with us this morning how you have made this possible. I was looking at the records yesterday. The World Bank has been reporting in 2005 in the range of $5 billion coming from diaspora. 2006, $6 billion. How have you managed to do this?
Well, you know, the first thing is when each and every one of us think of moving out of our various countries to the diaspora, we have a desire to return home. So one thing is before any diaspora return home, they would want to do a project, build a house, start a business, do something in the motherland.
Right.
And I believe all of us in the diaspora have something like that, either ongoing or in their minds, that they want to go back home one day. And based on that, we saw it as very important to put our efforts together to bring us together, Ghanaian diaspora, so that we can realize the common dreams that we have. In this case, go do something in your hometown, in your motherland, and bring something from where you have gone. One thing is, when we go out there, we go to learn a lot of things. Either you become a doctor, a lot of people are doctors, medical doctors. Some of us are engineers. Others are technicians. And look, even to the guy who washes toilet.
Right.
We learn different types of trade, knowledge, and that can be given back to our motherland. And this is the concept. So we started by creating what we call the Diaspora Investment Forum, where people can come in and share their ideas, and we've been using it on the Ghanaian radio abroad, so that people will at least have an understanding that, yes, I have a dream, I want to go back home, I want to do something home. And in that case, that person will at least have something at the back of his mind that I can do, or my dream can come true. So this is where we started.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people gave their minds to it, and they are investing. Today, we are moving it forward, starting some, what we call the Diaspora Investment Fund in Ghana,
right,
where diasporans can actually invest in the fund to be used in doing huge projects. We could use it to build private hospitals where the hospital can be operated by diasporans, because we have a lot of resources out there, and in that case, bring in a lot of money into this country.
Okay. Now, 6 million, 6 billion is a lot of money, or 5 billion is a lot of money. And I would want to think that requires a lot of people contributing in that fund. Just explain to us your organization levels in the host countries where diaspora are, how you've been able to bring together so many people with that story. How have you managed, you know, to build up a structure which can be able to send money back home to Ghana?
I will say that, you know, it is not one common structure that has got to that level.
Right.
It is individual diaspora Ghanaians. All that we do is we sensitize people. When we are on the radio, we tell people that your mother at home needs a place to sleep. Your brother needs to go to school. And you have a house for yourself that is not finished. We try to tell people these things. And then they themselves, based on the desire they have, they send these money. And I will tell you, that figure you see is the official figures.
Uh-huh.
You realize that. These are figures that the Bank of Ghana can document.
Right.
But when you are coming home and your friend gives you $1,000 to give to their mother or the girlfriend, that money is not documented anywhere. But
right.
All those things also amount to a lot of money. So if we want to look at it, the $6 billion actually is quite a little.
Mm.
Because the informal way is far higher, and most of our people who are not educated, for example, I'll use a country like Italy, for example, you have a lot of Ghanaians there that are doing menial jobs in their farms and stuff, and sometimes they don't use the normal channel to do their money transfers.
Right.
They will give it to their friends when they are coming home, or they themselves will come home with it, you know. So it's a lot of money that comes into this country, because collectively we have been able to make people understand the fact that you have gained something outside, bring it to yourself. And remember, this is not an effort that government is forcing, taking taxes of it. No, it is individual thoughts and individual wanting to do something in their home country.
Okay, sounds great. That's Diaspora for Development. I'll be going to the phone lines soon. Let me welcome Muriel from New York City. Muriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm listening.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us this morning. Okay.
I had a seminar with UNITAR in the UN on immigration and the contribution of people from the diaspora. And the diaspora seems like...
Hold on, Muriel. I'll come to you. Let me go to Msitwa, who is in Sierra Leone. Msitwa, you are listening to our introduction as we discuss diaspora, the Ghana Investment Forum. Do you have a question for Dr. Osei?
Yeah, one of my questions was going to be, how can the same model be replicated for other countries? Do specific countries need to be targeted? And also, what do you do if there's a portion of your population that you know is in certain countries but might not be registered with the embassy and it may not be as easy to get to them? How do you actually go about getting word to them that, you know, this is there, we want to document the money going in, because at the end of the day, you know, the numbers look good for the country. And so basically, yeah, the how-to, where do we start? So looking in the Zambian case, yeah, there's been talk of a similar thing, but as far as I know, it's not yet up and running. And so since it's still in the formative stage, how can we get it up and running?
Yeah, I think that was my question, right?
Yes.
Good. I will first say that I thank you for this question. What I will warn here is any attempt to bring in central government to control the people out there will bring the whole idea down. If, for example, Sierra Leone wants to undertake something like this, if the central government wants to come in, you know, our people or anybody from Africa, we believe that politicians are corrupt.
Yeah.
And therefore, if the government is coming in, the people will see it as if they are going to pay money to central government and government might abuse it. Even though it might not be true, but because of that perception, people might not be willing to give freely. Here, we are looking at the aggregate money that we can help our citizens bring into the country, whether it came to build a house, to build a school, to buy a computer for one little girl to go to school, to buy school uniform, or whatever it is. The money has come to the country and done something in form of an investment in the country. That is what we are looking at. So all we needed to do, or all one has to do, is to get the people enticed, get the people themselves to believe in it, that they can send something to their own people, that they can do properties, they can build houses. Today, a lot of Ghanaians living outside are building mansions because they have in the idea that, yes, they have to build a hotel for themselves, it is not for the government. They have to build a house for their mother. And all those things amount to huge investment. They create jobs for the people in this country. Therefore, if one wants to start anything, it is imperative that it goes on a citizenry level. Bring in the ambassador and you are going to ruin it up, because the ambassador will have to go back to the government. We started this on our own, private thing. You know, in Ghana, among Ghanaians living anywhere in the world, you will see an association being formed. Ghanaians coming from Accra will form an Accra association, in, for example, in Switzerland. If you go to Holland, you have a Ghanaian association in Holland. And we use these associations. We tell them about it. It's a concept. It is not something you pay money to me. You don't pay the government. The government will not tax you. Just send your money, do your own project. Let people know, let your people back home know that, yes, you have come to gain some knowledge and that you could also do something in your own country. In that case, people will believe in it more than trying to tell them, I will take your money and do something with it for you. You get what I mean?
Sure.
All right.
That is what I can say about it.
I understand the point. Yeah, I completely understand the point. And I know the people that are trying to implement the Denny plan here in Sierra Leone. And their perspective is, well, the country is recovering from conflict. And the government is being seen to do a lot of stuff. The banking system is really not that developed. And so the idea is by incorporating the government into this, it might be a push for the government to also improve the banking system. Whether or not that ends up working in the long run is yet to be seen. But a lot of skepticism I've heard from Sierra Leoneans in the diaspora is, well, you know, really good idea, but once again, no, I don't want to give my money to government. And even if it is a private thing, how am I to trust this group of Sierra Leoneans? And the unfortunate part about the Denny situation is that it's actually not even Sierra Leoneans who are running it. So that's kind of a whole other issue. How am I supposed to give my money to this person that I don't know and trust that this is going, you know, to the people I need for it to go back home or to eventually benefit my country? And so part of the logistics, at least the way I... part of the logistical problem is the trust element and who the money is going to. And how have you circumvented that for Ghana?
That is a very good question. I will talk about the logistics aspect of it. I think we have a very peculiar situation in Ghana where it's easier to let people understand these things as very important in investing in their own country. We even made it such that we actually had some black Americans coming in and looking at this, and they also coming in to invest. Logistically, we actually don't go and tell people to bring their money to us. We only show them the way. You come in, we bring in other experts. If you want to build a house, if you don't want somebody to duke you with your money, we tell you, go this way, you do it that way, you do it that way, you do it that way. So when we have people coming in for the forums, we come and we bring all of the experts. And we tell you, this person you can trust, you know, because we have gone and find out about their business and what they are doing. So in that case, we are able to create credibility, and basically without government mingling with it or trying to control anything. But I think in the case of Sierra Leone, if based on the circumstances the country has, if you bring in the government and it could prove to be successful, I think it would be a good thing to do so. In that case, then you would want to form a team where you bring in a couple of people from the government, from the finance ministry, and you do together with some banks, trusted banks in Sierra Leone, where they will be receiving the money and also channeling it through the sectors they want it to go. And I can see you also engaging some sort of local consultants who will be doing the monitoring for you. Because if you create success once, if somebody living in, for example, Norway, a Sierra Leonean, see that he can trust or one person have done it through you, he surely will also do that. So first of all, you will need trust. You need to build the credibility around whatever you want to start with.
Okay. Let me recognize a phone line. It's only showing on the switchboard zero. Can someone I haven't recognized please come in?
This is Naomi from Denmark.
Oh, Naomi. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you. And I'm sure you've been following the discussion.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Do you have a question for Dr. Osei from Accra, Ghana?
Not a question, maybe a contribution in agreement. Okay. I think if Ghana has done it, Zambia can do it, because I've been following up on India and Ghana. There are some of the success stories where the nationals in diaspora have actually invested back into the countries.
Mm-hmm.
As for India, it's doing really well, and the Indians that are in the UK or in the US are given incentives by the government so that they can come back and invest in the countries. So listening to him, it just builds confidence that for sure if Ghana can do it, then Zambia can do it, and other African countries can do it too.
Okay. Dr. Osei, to that contribution, you have said a government involvement is the beginning of the end of the project. But you in Ghana have actually a ministry which is entirely given the role of looking after diaspora issues. How do you reconcile that?
Yes, you know, there is a ministry in our previous government was has a lot to do with diaspora relations. And we had to work with them. We were working with them very, very well because we needed them in certain areas. When you need a permit for an investor, a diaspora investor, for example, when you channel it through them, it goes faster. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
When you need help, any legal issue, when they are behind you, then it is it goes well. But when you say they should take the charge of the whole thing, then it doesn't work. The government itself tried, and they were successful in bringing a lot of the aspirants, but not Ghanaian per se. You have a lot of Black Americans also came in. So we thought our initiative should be controlled by the government, but rather complemented, so that when we need help, we go there and they help us solve it, because they also have a big interest to want to see investments coming into the country. And it was a very good partnership. And I think my sister from Sierra Leone also can take a cue from this, that the government is not supposed to be your enemy in this. They are supposed to be your partner. But the face of it, should be seen as a citizen initiative.
Hmm. Okay. Let me
I want to thank my sister in Denmark.
Go ahead, Dr. Osei.
Sorry?
Osei.
Yeah, Naomi in Denmark, I want to say hello. How are you in Denmark?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Before I go to Dallas, Texas, let me recognize someone calling from Skype. Skype, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Roger. GM here, UK. I'm actually on the line. I've been trying to get in. I don't know why my line was not picked up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it has just shown now on the switchboard. And well, good morning from the UK. I don't know if you've been following the discussion.
Yeah, I have. Although I missed the first 5 minutes in there, but I think I've got the gist of it. And I would like to maybe once given an opportunity, let me answer. I will come in with my questions and comments.
Okay. Let me go to line one. Nathan, do you have a question for Dr. Osei from Accra, Ghana this morning?
Yeah, thank you. You see, the thing is, Dr. Osei, it's good to have you on the show. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I associate a lot with Ghanaians in Texas. And I've actually had the privilege of being traveling to Ghana as well. I think it was in 95 or something like that. You see, like,
right.
I really concur a lot with what Jacqueline is saying from Sierra Leone and some of the things that you have mentioned, because I'll tell you this, friends, the Ghanaians are a force to reckon with. I mean, I hang out with these people, and I know what I'm talking about. Some of the things that Dr. Osei has talked about is like, I'll give you an example. They have things like the Airway Association, okay? They have the Ghanaian Association, and these Ghanaian associations are very strong in any part of the world that you go to. One of the things I want to find out from you, Dr. Osei, is My question that I had, you have killed it already by saying that immediately you sort of, you've used the word partnering with government. Just try to highlight for us, how does, like, the embassies in particular countries get involved in this? Do they have any role, or the Ghanaians in the diaspora just directly deal with Accra?
Yes. You know, as rightly mentioned, the Ghanaian associations are very strong, and we have a lot of leverage. So all our campaigns are done through the associations out there. And then when we need a sort of political help or backing, that is where we go to the government. And we partner with them in a way. We let them understand, and they do understand, because they are championing the same course. And they do understand, and they always want to help, so that at the end of the day, we are able to get to the goals. What I always want to warn against is the government taking the whole thing as their project, but leave the citizens and become, you know, the mother, be at the back, and trying to protect anybody coming in, their investment, and making sure that if a person having lived in the U.S. for 30 years and want to come back home, nobody will go and rip him off with selling him a fake land, for example. To protect and to help them establish businesses, build their houses, and that alone helps in a long way to allow the citizens themselves to do their own thing.
All right. Let me go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Let me go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Beston, do you have a question, please?
Thank you, Roger. My question to Dr. Osei is, I appreciate, the successes Ghana the Ghanaian diaspora have achieved in terms of contributing so many billions to the Ghanaian economy. Could you please give us an idea of some of the physical projects that the diaspora have put up, maybe like schools, hospitals, or some banks? Is there something like that on the ground?
At the moment, no. This is what we are aspiring against with the establishment of what we call the Diaspora Investment Fund. We seek to use that fund to establish such developmental projects, for example, hospitals. We seek to use this fund to do so. At the moment, what we have been able to do is to get people to understand the importance of doing things for themselves, so that we build the credibility. And then next time, when we ask people to invest in a common fund, which can be used in building universities, then we can be able to be trusted, and people can invest in the fund. But I can say that individually, the aspirants have built schools, have built hotels. In Ghana, you have a university called Central All Nations University College, basically built by the aspirants. A lot of hotels that I can mention built by the aspirants, you know, they sit down and they want to do things for themselves. And that is where we have come to a point and see if we put our efforts together, we can do even bigger, build huge hospitals. So we are now on the verge of launching this Diaspora Investment Fund, where people will contribute in any investment that they can. We want to liaise with the Bank of Ghana so that their money can be paid into an account anywhere they are, and they can also be able to follow the investment that we are doing. The they can be able to know which project their money is being used for, what is it going to do, and how much they are going to earn. We are developing an internet site where every investment that will be coming in can be seen, that Roger in Canada has invested $10, and that $10, he has this and that with the fund. So we are developing that. This is the stage we are now.
Can I just follow up with one question? I believe a question I should have asked earlier. I mean, sometimes we try to compare eggs and apples. I know when you're talking about these remittances in billions, I want you to give us an idea in terms of the population of Ghanaians, because I know Zambians are probably just in hundreds of thousands, maybe 100,000, or at the most 200,000 in the whole diaspora. What is the what could be the population of Ghanaians in the whole diaspora? Because that will give us an idea as to why Ghanaians contribute billions, maybe $4 billion of dollars yearly.
Yeah, it is estimated that you have about 2 million Ghanaians outside Ghana.
Yeah.
So then you can understand the magnitude of money that are coming in. And Ghanaians are very hardworking people, and also they like to pay money, send money to their home. That is why the money is so huge. There's a lot of Ghanaians almost everywhere, every country in this world. There are Ghanaians there.
All right, thank you.
All right. Agodiam, I don't know if you want to come in
yes,
here.
Yes, I would. And just make some comments for ourselves as Zambians and look where we've come from. My name is Greswell Mwansa. I'm phoning from the UK. I've been involved in various efforts to try and galvanize Zambians to invest back in the country. I'll come to that a little later, but let me try and actually follow up on some of the aspects that Dr. Osa talked about. My understanding, although I say I missed the first 5 minutes, my understanding is that currently the association or the organization in Ghana acts more like an information channel or a broker for anybody, any Ghanaian who wants to either build or set up a business or send money to their relatives, and they assist them, A, to find trustworthy channels in which to send the money. Is my understanding correct?
Your understanding is partially correct. The association serves as information channel and also serves as basically as a social point where people meet and have parties and have things, but at the same time they inform people about what is going on back home, others have been able to do, what governments are doing, what they can do with their money. Informally, when they meet, then people are listening and asking questions about what can be done, what did you do when you were home the last time, what can I do when I'm going home this time. So people can inform each other through the associations when we go to meetings and stuff. So it's a place where information are disseminated, and also people receive sort of concrete ideas about what they can do in their mother country.
Okay. Let me follow up now. I think this is more for us as Zambians, and my experience having had a go at actually trying to galvanize Zambians since 1995 to begin investing home. I think, correct me if my understanding is wrong, fellow Zambians, but for quite a long time, we as Zambians, especially in the diaspora, did not want to associate ourselves with Zambia. I used to go to gatherings in London where, there will be Africans. But we as Zambians, I would just probably accidentally bump into somebody speaking Bemba or Nyanja. And that's when, we were, for whatever reason, very reticent to identify ourselves readily as Zambians. That was one of the problems. The other one, which you have already talked about, is distrust amongst ourselves.
Mm.
So if we have to be, and at that time I was associating with some Ghanaians, and really I would commend you as Ghanaians for real, you know, trailing, you know, the blazing in this situation. You really have a very strong national bonding, which we as Zambians can learn from. I think Zambians are now coming out. Also, there was some sort of distrust between the Zambians in the diaspora and those at home, especially in the government. You know, we have to emerge and heal from that in order to build a strong force. So really, that is my message to ourselves as Zambians. Let's learn from the Ghanaians, the Kenyans, the Ethiopians, and try. For, yes, we are not 2 million, we are probably 100,000. But even in there, if there are clusters of Zambians that trust each other and can build something, I think that will be a start for now and a big platform to build on. So that's all I would say for now.
Exactly. I would add this to what you said, that I mean, to start with, it takes people who want to work like they want to live. Like in the Bible, Nehemiah wanted to lead the people to build a wall.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if we don't have people like Nehemiah amongst you, who will say, let's stand up and build, then we're going to have a problem. If we have people like that, first of all, they would want to start these associations, because that is where you can be able to get your people.
Mm-hmm.
So together, if you live in Washington, if you are 10 people living in Washington, or if you are 15 or 20 or 100 people living in New York, you gather them together, and every month you meet, and you just have fun. Talk about the old things in Zambia. Talk about what you used to do when you were a kid. And through that, you will be able to gather enough people, and the government will have to now start listening to you. When you go to the embassy and you say, we are 100 people, I call ourselves the Zambian Association in New York, and that this is what we want to do, this is what we want to do, the government will now start to listen to you. But if you don't start from somewhere, it would never be built.
Yes. Okay. Can I say this to fellow Zambia? Kadson Kabwe's appeal to me was one thing that sort of rallied quite a number.
Good.
Yeah. And if you can actually build from there, okay, maybe not as much money was raised as was hoped, but I thought it was a beginning to try and begin building some sort of bonding.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Roger, let me just say this. That's a great observation Mr. Mwans has made.
Okay.
Let me allow Titus from St. Paul, Minnesota, to ask his question, and then I'll go back to the line.
It's just a contribution. I don't think I have any questions. Hands out, head. Oh, sorry. I think what it is I would like to just commend the doctor from Ghana for what they are doing. But I wanted to just contribute to the observation of the gentleman in England, what he noticed. I would like to inform you guys on radio that that was a big kick on the Kadson Kabwe situation. Just news as from yesterday, I think there's a shake-up in Russia. The ambassador and the deputy ambassador are being recalled. I think it has something to do with the follow-up on the Kadson. I think they're understanding. And this is one of the things that when the gentleman says from Ghana, 10 people, the people can start listening. The little people don't worry about the money that was gotten for Kadson, but the influence that it went as far as Parliament, and ministers are responsible, and there's a shake-up in the embassy in Russia. and the next ambassadors will be checking up. Just good news, Carson himself went to the embassy and he was given at a blimp whatever he needed. So there is something that is happening. And good observation, that's all I would have. Maybe we should create a diaspora Mossi or Casolaga. That might work faster and everything. Educate the Zambians that this is something to do with building something in Zambia, and the Zambians are doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, another thing that I would like to contribute.
Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. I was going to say, right now I think is a really good time because there's so much going on with social media. And I know that I'm part of several groups on Facebook of kind of either young Zambians, Zambians in the U.S. And so I really think that moving forward, even if it were just mobilizing people online, there's a lot of potential to get Zambians who are in different parts of the world mobilized even on Facebook. And so I think that trying to get to Zambians can be done even more than just by having social groups in different cities and by contacting the embassy. I think that we definitely need to make use of the Internet.
Okay. Dr. Mlenga from Ottawa, Canada, have you been following the discussion?
I just joined in, Roger.
Okay. We are discussing diaspora for development with a perspective looking at the Ghana Diaspora Investment Forum, how our friends in Ghana have been so successful in mobilizing funds, given their numbers, and even us with our small numbers, our ratios do not seem to match. So we are trying to see what our friends, we can learn from our friends in Ghana. Dr. Osei, I've read some reports where diaspora in their host countries, they have engaged companies where they are, and they have partnered with those companies, say, in Netherlands, to bring projects to Ghana. What can you say about that?
It is really one of the things that Ghanaians in the diaspora are doing. A lot of people, when they want to come back home, do something in their home country, they try to look at how they can bring a business. And many of the investment comes through these initiatives that people approach businesses, try to tell them how good it is to invest in Ghana. And in so doing, they are able to get the companies to bring in a lot of capital into the country. At the moment, there is one such project going on that actually sponsored by the EU and some other organizations where Ghanaians are being assisted to come back home to establish businesses so as to create jobs for their our own people in the country. So, yes, that is one of the things that Ghanaians are doing, and it also brings in a lot of investment capital into the country.
All right. Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines. Naomi from Denmark, you've been listening. Do you have a question for Dr. Osei?
I was just comparing how Ghana has managed and looking at the Zambian perspective. I think what we also need to do if we are to fall in those lines is probably create partnership with the embassies. I think the problem is our embassies are not so much involved with the Zambians in the diaspora. I remember the first time I went to the Zambian embassy in Stockholm, I was on a trip to Sweden, and generally our friends, the Scandinavians, when they land in whichever country, they visit their embassies. So for them, it was exciting to take me to the Zambian embassy. And when I got there, they asked me, "Do you have a problem?" I said, "No, I just came to see where the embassy is." And they said, "Okay, that's why the Irish people visit us whenever they have problems. When they are okay, they don't visit us." And for me, that was very disappointing. I couldn't say much. But were other people there that were non-Zambians, so I kept quiet. But when I went back, I mentioned to others, and they said, oh, don't worry, that's their attitude when you get to Zambian embassies, even in New York and everywhere. So I think basically we need to establish friendship with the embassies and the other Zambians. Then when we come together, we can start from there, but we need to bond with ourselves first. As Dr. Say said, we need to establish trust. We need to build friendship and trust each other such that when we venture into these developmental issues, we'll be at same level and same understanding.
All right. Dr. Osei, so how would you describe your relationship with the embassies in foreign lands?
I will say this. You know, I did understand Naomi very well. Over the years, in the 80s, and then in the first part of the 90s, this was happening in Ghanaian embassies across around the world. When you go there, the only thing they think about you is that you have a problem and that they want to help you solve it. And that was the order of the day. But then Ghanaians themselves started to change this perception.
Yeah.
That when I come there, I am not necessarily in trouble. I can come there seeking other information, wanting to actually go back home with an investment, more than whether I have a problem or I am in trouble or I don't have a passport or something like that. So that with time, this same association I'm mentioning was able to put pressure on the embassies, not forcing them in a way, but in a way trying to let them know. For example, when there is the Independence Day of Ghana, normally the associations have parties, and then they invite the ambassador, you know.
Uh-huh.
When they invite the ambassador, and the ambassador comes in there and see so many Ghanaians, well-to-do people, prominent people, medical doctors, and a host of other people, and then they start to engage with them on a normal level that, oh, see, look at this. These people are also people like me, and they are from my country. And we start speaking the local languages, and they kind of come to understand that this is not the way we think it is. They are not just in trouble here. They are doing meaningful and good jobs. They are contributing to this economy or this country we live in. So now when they come to talk about going back to contribute to the country we come from, we will take them serious. So it has to be a sort of an engagement where you rather want to prove to them, because they have a perception already. You don't trust them because you think they are misusing, they are abusing power, they are abusing money or funds. And they don't trust you because they think you are there, you are just working and making money, and you are in trouble and all that. So first of all, you have to initiate a sort of a point of contact, a platform where you can be able to engage on a whole different view so that you can look at each other with trust. And that is what happened, that turned around the Ghanaian, the diaspora, and the government relationships. So that we are now able to flow with them at all levels. Any ambassador outside Ghana, Ghanaian ambassador, first of all, he would like to go and introduce himself this time to the Ghanaian community. When they are appointed, after they have gone to give the accreditation to the various governments, they would like to introduce themselves to the Ghanaian community. So sometimes you will hear that the new ambassador wants to come to us, so tomorrow or the next Sunday we are going for a big meeting because the ambassador is coming. You know, it cuts across all over the world where you have Ghanaian associations. So that sometimes when the president visits these countries, especially in London, he goes over and meet the Ghanaian community and have discussions with them. You know, we were in London quite recently for an investment forum on Ghana. The president was there, and the Ghanaian community was also invited because they are a very important part. They are the first face of Ghana to the public of the countries you leave.
And the same thing can apply to Zambia. The Zambians in London, the Zambians in New York, you are the first face of investment contact with the general public in London because you first meet them. And when they go to read about Zambia, they will rather believe in what you tell them more than the things they believe. And you can also convince them more. You can tell them more about the good things that your country has, better than UN report, you understand. So it is, first of all, the initiative of the citizenry. There should be a sort of a mayors among you who would want to cut the door open and say, let us rise up and build, and let us reach out to the government. Let us tell the government what we can do. Let us be available for them. And in with time, they are going to walk down to you. They are going to come back to you and say, what can we do together? And this is the situation for Ghana now. Government now can come to the diaspora and ask questions. What can we do? What are the expertise? There is a huge database where Ghanaians in the diaspora can actually go and register if they have any expertise. They can go and register online, and then the government and citizens are going through it. And if there is a need, they can appoint anybody or call anybody to come and serve their country, you know? So
yeah,
these are some of the things that...
This is Gresham one in the UK. What you're saying is quite true. I think we, with our embassies, several steps behind that. What you explained in terms of what you went through, I think we are going through that because what has happened over the years, as I said earlier, there's been mistrust between the diaspora and especially the people in government. I'll give you an example of those of us here in the UK. We've got a number of us have gotten together to try and get some investment, put our little monies together, and begin investing in Zambia. Now, when you went to the Zambian embassy, they are more ready to receive foreigners than the Zambians, as far as investment is concerned. And we've been trying to say, okay, we hear that maybe it's because they've got millions of dollars to invest to our hundreds of thousands of dollars. Probably that's why they get more favorable attention. But even in Zambia itself, although it is changing now, foreigners are given a lot more dispensation in terms of privileges for investment than the Zambians. That, I understand, is being addressed. So we are coming from that top background. And as you rightly say, I think even the diaspora where I think at Fort, I cannot say that we weren't. So we need now to begin building a more trustworthy relationship with our embassies so that it's a win-win situation, that they can see us as value adding to the efforts in the development of the country.
Yes, I do agree with you 100%. And I will also further tell you that you need to use all avenues. Other first priority from New York also mentioned about social media. And get some Zambians on the ground in Zambia and try to seek to go to the ambassador that you want to engage with him. If you got like 10, 15, 20 people, you form an association and send this ambassador a letter and say, we want to meet you at this time, at that time. And you start doing something. And people in New York start doing something. People in Scandinavia start doing something. You realize that in a very short period of time, the foreign ministry is going to receive a lot of reports from around the world. That the London office, the embassy in London sent a report about diasporan activity. The New York Embassy sent a report, the Scandinavians sent it, the French sent it, and everywhere the Zambians living abroad can contribute. And you can also dictate to see that the government changes laws that will favor you. Ghanaians in the diaspora, pushed so much so that today we have what we call dual citizenship. So that when you are in London, or in the U.S. and you have a citizenship there, when you come to Ghana, you can come and apply for a Ghanaian passport and enjoy the same privileges that a Ghanaian enjoys here. You know, and that was championed and pushed by the diasporans themselves. Because if you don't do so, nobody, the government is sitting there, he doesn't know the problems you have. He doesn't know, and you, if you don't tell it, it's going to happen. And even today in Ghana, our election laws have been changed so that maybe in some years to come, Ghanaians in the diaspora can vote in elections in Ghana. You know, that is how far we have come. But it
yes,
all started
certainly. You are blazing the trail for us as well in that way. It's certainly tremendous that you have, so that we can give you as an example to our government.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Dr. Mulenga, you've been quiet. Before I go back to Sierra Leone, you have a question or a comment?
Maybe a comment.
Go ahead, Dr. Mulenga.
Yeah, basically, I would like to know to endorse what you know my friends are saying, and in particular, when it comes not to the question of trust and interaction between Zambians in the diaspora and then the mission, the staff working at our Zambian mission. The misconception is still there, the mistrust is still there. That's why you get a situation whereby our own embassy officials, they like to do, you know, business more openly with the foreign investors than ourselves. So I think it's just a question of dealing and eliminating that kind of misconception. And I would like also to really praise our friends in Ghana. I think we have used it when fighting for this dual citizenship. In fact, Ghana is one country that we often quote as an example, that given the dual citizenship, that has got a causal relationship with the investments that the people in the diaspora, you know, invest back home. So we are very proud of that example, and hopefully Zambia can emulate what our friends have been doing in Ghana. So yes, in short, I endorse exactly what the gentleman is telling us. That's the direction we should aim for.
Okay, let me just recognize one caller from area code 770. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is Francis Rogers. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, my brother. Okay, I'll be coming to you. Let me go to our sister in Sierra Leone. Muna, you've been following what we are discussing here. Please go ahead with your question.
Actually, I don't have any question right now other than, I mean, moving forward, how can we as Zambians in the diaspora get started?
Good.
And do we, you know, there are a lot of investment options in Zambia. You know, how would such a group go about being transparent enough in the investments that we would choose? And would they all be development related or not? Because what I'm hearing is, yes, there's a need, you know, for instance, to develop health infrastructure, which is great, but it being something that is purely developmental or a combination of, you know, just pure investment for profit, or would that have to be something that we'll decide along the way?
Okay. Thank you so much. Actually, you... Yes, before the end of the program, we'll have at least 10 minutes, Mona, when you can talk about this conference or some sort of grouping, which at Zambia Block Talk Radio we are promoting. In our next segment, we are going to be talking to Patrick Mapalo in New Mexico. He is having a trip with four Americans. He's been promoting tours to Zambia. So we want to hear from him how he's been able to do these promotions and how others can emulate and sell our tourism in Zambia. Nathan in Dallas, Texas, ask your question to Dr. Osei in Accra, Ghana.
Well, really, what it's not really directed to Dr. Osei, but just like a comment or some things that have been raised. I wanted to find out from Musitwa in Sierra Leone, in our travels and going around, what have you observed or noticed about this diaspora situation?
In what sense? In terms of investment and interest in investment?
Basically,
in what have I observed about the diaspora?
What do you observe government relations between the diaspora nationals and the specific governments? I mean, like you are in Sierra Leone, I mean, you go everywhere in Asia and things like that.
It really, really depends. And it depends on kind of the nationals and how active they are. For instance, Rwanda, they have a very active diaspora in the U.S. and Canada, and their government is very willing to listen to them. So whatever projects they come up with, whether on an individual level or organized, the government tends to pay attention. And they actually also have a Rwanda Diaspora Fund that will be opening up later this year that the government is helping them promote. Sierra Leone, I haven't noticed that much, for instance, with Sierra Leone and the U.S., and I know a fair number of Sierra Leoneans. The Nigerians are very proactive on their own, but as far as I know, not so much, you know, with government intervention. So I think more than anything, what I've noticed with a lot of Africans is, one, it depends on how many of them are in a particular location, and two, what they want to do with their home country. And once a group of people get together, I think that it is easier for them to do whatever they want to do. And as for government support, it seems to really, really depend on the government. But for the most part, I definitely, from what I've noticed, a lot of the government, I guess, will listen, but as to how supportive they'll be, really depends on how much value they also place in their diaspora. Ghana has done a great job of recognizing the fact that they do have a huge diaspora and that they can get a lot of benefits from it. Sierra Leone also has a diaspora office that they're still trying to, you know, strengthen, but, you know, it's there. And so maybe one of the things that Zambia definitely needs to look into is getting a diaspora office and having things more centralized. So, yeah, it really, really depends. But the best cases I've seen, I definitely think, are Ghana, Rwanda. South Africa is just very organized on its own, whether in terms of people or the government itself doing stuff. And so, once again, people and their willingness to do stuff, I think, tend to move government.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mona. Francis, I don't know if you've been following the discussion. We have Dr. Kwame Osei in Ghana. He is the project manager of Diaspora Forum Investment Forum. Do you have a question for him?
No, not at the moment. I haven't listened much to what is going on.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me go back to Denmark. Denmark, Naomi. Please come in.
Yes. I think, as you said, that we need to start somewhere with the friendship with our embassies. And also, I think the problem we have, I really don't know how to put this, but I think because usually people that are put in embassies are associated with political parties. So somehow, that's my observation. It's more about reporting back to their political authority other than what the roles of that particular office are. So if we, at the embassies, our ambassadors are political influence, it's very difficult for them to differentiate between NMD and what is generally good for Zambia's development. I think for me that's where I seem to have a problem.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes with Dr. Osei. Dr. Osei, there are several examples and projects around I've been looking on the internet. I saw the Ethiopians have a very big project of diaspora going on.
Yes.
Somalians, Somalia, there's no government. There's another country where they have huge projects going on. Just share with our listeners some of the projects which you are undertaking in your country.
At this moment, what we are doing, we are building a platform at this moment. We have done a lot of them, but we are building a platform, as I mentioned, about the fund, the investment fund, where we are building a huge internet portal where anybody, we are trying to link it up with Western Union and the Bank of Ghana, where any Ghanaian anywhere can walk to any Western Union. When he's sending money, X amount of it, based on what he wants to invest, will be directly sent into the fund, and it will be updated on the site. He will see how much money he has invested and the total amount of money that has been invested in the fund and what the fund is actually doing. And what we want to be doing is to be investing in building private hospitals, and these are developmental projects. A private hospital will not be a non-profit, it will be for-profit, so that doctors from the diaspora will be working there, and they will be charging just like any hospital in this country. But then the person investing in it will be making profit, and at the same time would have been contributing to the development of that particular region or the nation. And we intend to build or do many different projects in that area. But so far, at this moment, that is the level our project is at.
Okay. Uncle Masa, in UK, you have made a lot of progress. I saw it's more a note which you sent to us. How do you see us moving on from what you have developed right now going forward?
Well, yes, we have. Although it's still in its very early stages, yes, we got an idea together, the vision of investing in Zambia primarily by us putting money together as shareholders. And both our compatriots, some of our compatriots in Zambia, here in the UK, in South Africa, Canada, have put that to together. And the way that we see going forward is by galvanizing our Zambian shareholders to really spearhead a number of developmental programs. For instance, right now we are in the process of buying some land in the small holding area of Ibex Hill in Lusaka. We have partnered with the Cross-Border Traders Association on the Copper Belt to develop the land which we have jointly acquired at Kasumbalesa, really targeting the Congo market. So it is that, and maybe at an appropriate time we can share, a bit more to the community of the Zambia, Blog Talk Radio, and also see if there could be some interest. But for today, since it's focusing on our, brothers in Ghana, I thought that probably we should limit it to learn from them.
Yes,
but that's where we are. It's an exciting idea. It has a price tag on it, so that those that are actually joining, there is. Again, we had to build trust, and as a result, those of us who were in the founding group really went to the people that we knew, and through them also the people they knew, because initially we were just selling a vision. Others said, where is the business plan, etc. So we were really in a chicken and egg situation. So we said, okay, those that actually want to see projects and then invest in projects will come later. But first and foremost, we need to have a central fund which will catapult us into these various areas. So that's where we are right now. Our team went to China to look at some manufacturing aspects, and then they're looking at how we can tailor and implement that in Zambia and looking at the sub-region as well. So that's where we are. As I say, we'll be quite glad to share with the community at some point, you know, what we are doing, and those that are interested can do, can join us. But let me say this to fellow Zambians. This is one initiative, and I've always said, if people feel no, they don't want to belong to this, let them start something where they are as Zambians, so that if we have these clusters of Zambians pulling together, investing in Zambia itself, but also in areas where you are, so that when the profits are made, they can be channeled to Zambia. We really need to begin emerging as you know, formidable investment forces where we are. So
all right. I have
I think I want to come in here, Roger.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to come in here and really congratulate. I want to really congratulate my brother who just spoke, and really encourage him, because this is what it all started for Ghana. And I want to say that he should rather try to sell what they are doing more, first of all, to the people of Zambia, the diaspora. The Zambian diaspora, he should first sell these things to them, let them understand and see whether it is an internet site that people can go and see and read about it, see pictures of what it is being done now, and let them understand that they can, in their own little way, just like you said now, they can start building a house in their little village. It won't cost them so much. A little bit every month could give them a mansion in 2 years, you know. That way, then they will start having that love back home. They will try to go on holidays. They will try to see their parents and their forefathers very often. That is what Ghana's adventure started. And I tell you, the associations that I mentioned, it really works.
Okay. Let me just, before I go to Atlanta, he's been listening. Someone is calling from area code 732. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is Angelo.
Angelo, oh, my brother. How are you? How is New York today?
Good, good, good.
Good. I don't know if you... Yeah, okay, New Jersey. I don't know if you've been following the discussions, but I'll come back to you. Francis in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm sure you've got some points here. What is your comment? We have 5 minutes to go.
I think it's a good idea what the last speaker just said, that the Zambians in the diaspora must first organize. And I thought we did start another thing, that Zambia First Investment, but it's just died. I don't know what's going on. I mean... It had a lot of issues on its own. So probably that's the best way. Find if those Zambians that are willing to come together.
Okay, okay, okay. Let me go to Angelo. Angelo, I don't know if you followed enough to...
I just joined, but I have some questions to ask her.
Okay,
I have a general idea of what's going on.
What's going on? Okay, put your question forward to Dr. Osei in Accra, Ghana.
Okay. Well, my you know, it's true that Zambians in the diaspora has, you know, we have a lot of resources. What we need is information. How do we invest? Like, for instance, if I want to be an angel investor in Zambia, where do I get information about promising companies or startups?
Okay.
If I will come in here, I will tell Angelo that investing by yourself in small companies in Zambia is throwing your money out of the window. But
okay.
because you may not have, you may not know all the information. But if you start with like real estate, for example, or if you come together with different people who are willing to also do the same thing, then one day you can do a trip, or one person can do a trip to Zambia and find that company that you want to put your money in. Investing in Africa is very tricky because information is not really available all the time. So that is one of the things I will say. First of all, build a sort of a team, build a sort of a group from start, from the diaspora. In different countries, you have an association. It could be on Facebook. It could be on different platforms. And then you can put your efforts together, and you can face Zambia. And you can also do that with the blessing of the various embassies, and the government will have to listen to you because they can see that now you are a force.
Okay. That is a very encouraging what we've got, and I hope everyone has got something from the Ghanaian story. Dr. Osei, I just want you to say a few words as we let you go, and the Zambians will have something going on. Please pick up and just say a few words in closing.
I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to share what has been going on in Ghana with the Zambian community outside. We're grateful that our story is being emulated. Of course, there are a lot of challenges which we couldn't have talked about all that on radio for now. But then as you go in, you have us to actually use as an example. In this case, you can fall back on us and say, how do we do this? How did you go about this particular problem? And we can also share with you how we were able to achieve our success. It is not all rosy at this moment. Ghana is still a developing country, but we have gone a little bit further up the ladder. So I want to thank you so much, and I want to also encourage all of you Zambians across the world, look back to your country. That is where your mother was born, and that is where you were born. You can never, ever be successful without having eaten from your mother's kitchen. It always has to be. You first have to eat from your mother's kitchen. And when you go out, please come back to the poor kitchen and help her build or roof that kitchen where you first ate. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much. And the remaining Zambians, we will go in around and just summarize what we have heard from our fellow African. Dr. Osei, I really appreciate for sparing your time with us. And I hope this is not just our first and last, but we'll continue to communicate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, and for staying with us. We have about 6 minutes in this segment. Next segment, we are looking at Zambia Tourism. Our friend from New Mexico will be traveling to Zambia with tourists there. So we'll see how we can promote that trip, and maybe other Zambians can pick up other trips. Mr. Mwasa, what would be your view of what we have discussed here? What would you say, where do we start from here now, and where do we go?
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I don't know whether Dr. Osei is listening in. If not, maybe this can be communicated. You've thanked him, and I would like to thank him as well. One of our aspirations in this little grouping that we have started the investment for Zambia is, cross-investment across Africa. So, for instance, we would very much love to, when they start this fund in Ghana, we'd need to look at it, look at the prospectus, and even invest. We are looking at the moment at the Kenyan diaspora. You know, the Kenyan diaspora have one or two motels in Kenya.
Mm.
And we've engaged with them and talked. And at some point, we felt that, no, we need to invest in them. And they invest in us. We've been looking at Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Botswana. We've got feelers going out there so that we can, but our home base, obviously, is Zambia. And if we can build something in Zambia that serves the sub-region well and good, that's one of our aspirations. Now, coming back to ourselves as Zambians, I think we need to begin the bonding that is required so that when we go to the embassy, we speak with one voice.
Okay.
That is important. I also want to ask a question regarding the association. If one goes on the internet, there are several associations all over the globe of Zambians. But if my experience of the ones that I've attended in London and one in South Africa, it tends to be mainly one of a social nature drink and so forth, and nothing seems to emanate from there. So I don't know how the associations in the U.S. and Canada of Zambians are, whether there's anything on that. If not, then we can start by encouraging those to say, yes, it's good to socialize, but can we begin doing something tangible to our benefit and our, you know, countrymen and women as well, and then engaging with the embassies along those lines.
Yes. Okay. I'll be going to Sierra Leone. Nathan, just tell our listeners, next week I think we'll be having our ambassador.
Roger, can I come in, please?
Okay. I'll let you come in, Dr. Mlenga. But let's just
okay.
Nathan.
Let me quickly just mention something in line with this series we are taking, Diaspora for Development, in line with what Mr. Mwansa said as well. What we are trying to do on this forum is to engage all the Zambian associations across the globe, in Asia, in Europe, America, North America, South America, so that they come on this forum and we engage in this conversation like we are doing. And then secondly, I'm not saying it's confirmed. We are in the same line. We are trying to get our Zambian ambassador here to come again and discuss how we can, like Dr. Osei was saying, how we can partner and foster development in our country. We've got very little time left. Let me give chance to Dr. Mlenga, who wants to say something.
Okay, Dr. Mlenga, we have only 2 minutes, and I would like our sister Muna to close it with. So if you can just take maybe 1 minute, that would be good.
No, second, not a minute.
Oh, that's great.
I just wanted to, you know, to mention to Mwansa that is he familiar about this Diaspora Connect? Because one of the objectives of Diaspora Connect is to do exactly just what he's saying, that we have to try and get Zambians who are having organizations or groupings that they move away from the social functions, go to other functions like looking into investments. So I would strongly recommend to Mwansa that you should go and visit that Diaspora Connect, you know, site and see what we are doing. And then
okay. Okay, I'm sorry to cut you short, and thank you so much, Uncle Mwansa, for joining us today, and I hope you join us even the other time. Muna, we have 1 minute to go until we go in the second segment. Close it up with whatever we have discussed from here.
Okay, I definitely think moving forward there's a lot of potential. Right now, we are definitely trying to get a group together to organize discussing investment options later this year. So definitely stay tuned, because I'm sure that there'll be more information on that on the show. But part of what I'm also doing here in Sierra Leone is organizing an investment conference here in Sierra Leone for later this year. And the plan is to have the same type of investment conference held in Zambia next year to attract foreign investors, as well as notify local Zambian investors of what investment opportunities are there. So I definitely think there's a lot of potential, there's a lot of willpower, so just stay tuned, and we'll definitely let you know how you can get involved if you are interested in getting involved.
All right. A lot of that information, if you go to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, we'll be posting a lot of information as we go on. This will be closing, and we have only, like I said, 4 seconds. Someone from Ada Code 940. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, that's Roger. That's James Sanders from Sargona, Texas. He's supposed to be joining us in the next segment for the Patrick Mapalo discussion. James?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, James, you have to call back like 3-4 minutes.
In about 15 minutes?
No, about 3-4 minutes. We're just winding up this one. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this morning, and we hope you'll be with us next week or in the next show.
In the next segment.
In the next segment and next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.